Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, and who keeps truth forever and never forsakes the works of his hands. Amen. Beloved congregation, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing in worship to God, Psalter 286, stanza 1, 2, 5, and 6. 286, 1, 2, 5, and 6. Privileged to read from both testaments of the Bible, first the Old and then the New. And this afternoon's reading from the Old is from 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And the setting is the Syrians are at war with Israel, and Israel is besieged, and there's great food shortage as a result. So we'll read this together. It's quite a passage, really. And then after that, we'll read John 6, 1 to 14. Hear the word of the Lord, beginning at verse 24 in chapter 6. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 pieces, that's 80 pieces of silver. And the fourth part of a cab, or you might say a cupful of dove's dung, for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king!" And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, or out of the wine press?" And the king said unto her, "What ails thee?" She answered, "This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son, and did eat him. And I said unto her, on the next day," and really it should be on the other day, not the, right the next day, but the other day, "Give thy son, that we may eat him." And she has hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within him upon his flesh. And he said, God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man from before him, but ere the messenger came to him, he, that is Elisha, said to the elders, see ye how this son of a murderer, referring to the king, has sent to take away mine head. Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? In other words, the king will soon be coming. And while he had talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him. And he said, and this now is the king himself, behold, this evil is of the Lord. What shall I wait for the Lord any longer? Then we read, Elisha said, this is to the king then, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord, or a nobleman, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he, Elisha, said, behold, you shall see it with your eyes, but shall not eat thereof. Then there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate, in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? The rest of the chapter is about them going to the camp of the Syrians. And the Lord had sent a sound that made them flee. And the camp and all the goods became available to the people of Israel. You can read that story later on in your devotions tonight if you like. We go to John chapter 6, verse 1 to 14. Here we read, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence or from where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him or to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves, and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. So far the reading as background for our study this afternoon on the 4th petition in the Lord's Prayer, which is, give us this day our daily bread. And let's look at the Catechism's explanation on that on page 86 in the back of the Psalter. Page 86 in the back of the Psalter. And it's question and answer 125. What's the 4th petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care, nor industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Praying for physical blessings Christianly That will be the theme of our sermon this afternoon. Let's now confess the Christian faith as Christian church about our triune God. You have it on your bulletin in the back page. Let's say it together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's sing now to God's praise, Psalter 402, stanza 1, 3, and 4. Let's now call upon the Lord in prayer, and we also remember Stephen Lee's wife, Julie, with the two children who went to Korea because Julie's father in Korea is quite seriously ill. So we'll pray for him. Let's pray. Thank you so much, O gracious triune God. And for a second time this day, we are privileged to come together for worship and praise. How good it is to exalt and honor your name in song, acknowledging you as the Creator God, the one who made this whole universe and everything in it, and the one who keeps it all going. If thou wouldst just take back thy upholding hand, everything would fall apart. Everything would come to nothing. The planets would no longer remain in the orbit. The laws of nature as we know it would no longer continue. Help us to realize that we are kept by thy sustaining hand every day. We pray, bless us this afternoon as we will think about that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Help us to be moved with this petition being included in that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Help us to have grand and great thoughts of thee also following this service, and teach us to pray as we will be instructed to do. We thank you for all who are in church here with us. Remember each one, and we intercede also with thanksgiving for Sister Ann Heaton, that she could come. Every time she makes that trip, Lord, will you continue to protect her and bless her? Remember her too in her stage of life as a widow and getting older. We give thanks for health and strength for each day that we may live. We pray for those who are dealing with physical struggles and ailments of different kinds, and even among younger ones it can be. And so we need thy help and care in everything, Lord. We pray for Julie and the children who went to Korea, especially for her father. Remember them, Lord, and their needs, and protect them and bless them and be with the Father in this time. And we pray that also the gospel may be their comfort and portion as they deal with the physical body and the weakness and frailty of it. And the reality that death does come in our lives. How we give thanks that through the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Him, death is no longer a punishment for sin, but only an abolishing of sin and a passageway to glory. Lord, we pray for your mercy on our land. We thank you for this great country of Canada. How beautiful a nation and country it is. How richly blessed we are in so many ways. Help us never to take it for granted. Help us to be humbly thankful for the privileges and freedoms we may have. Help us to be responsible citizens in this land. Remember those in government. We pray for them, our Prime Minister, our premiers, and the mayors, also the mayor of Calgary, Lord, the premier of Alberta. Help them and strengthen them in the many challenges, also in political life and in the work of government. We pray, be with those countries where there's so much unrest and turmoil and trouble. We pray especially for Christians in countries where there's persecution. We pray, help them to endure to the end. Sustain them and uphold them. And grant that they may be faithful in their witness, so that even their persecutors are brought to conviction and to conversion by your almighty grace and power. Lord, we pray for strength in each one of our lives in our daily challenges. We think of those who presently among us have real work challenges, and maybe are thinking about different jobs, and we pray, will you guide all those things? Bless also the sermon this afternoon, that it may be encouraging also in those matters. We pray for our children and youth. Bless them, Lord. Bless them in their schoolwork. Bless them in their training for future vocations and jobs, whatever sort it might be. And we pray, bless them especially with your Spirit, that there may be a love for your Word. And we thank you when we see a love and respect for your Word and desire to live in submission to the Word. Lord, let that grow and more and more show itself. And we pray, show also how good it is to follow the Lord. Help us to give that witness to others. Lord, we pray this afternoon for our country in regards to our sins as a nation. And then we think of that sin of abortion, which we can so easily forget about, but we know that it is a great offense and evil against thee and against mankind. And we pray, will you open our eyes that we may see it, that to kill little ones in the womb is sin and an evil which cannot be tolerated by thee. Well, Lord, we pray that thou wilt make it that we see it as more and more it's hardly recognized, or it's just covered up and it's not exposed. Oh Lord, we pray that we may have our consciences convicted of this great evil of our generation, not only in our country but really across the world. Oh, have mercy upon us. In wrath, remember mercy. And Lord, now as we study your Word together and reflect on the fourth petition, as we speak about different portions of Scripture, will you open us to the Word and open the Word to us and bless us through the Word. Lord, we are dependent on thy blessing. Help in preaching and help in listening. And may your name be glorified and your people edified and sinners saved. We ask it all in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let's now sing together before the preaching Psalter 169. But first you are given opportunity to give your offerings for the church and for the radio ministry. The Lord bless you and your offerings. Pray, and in our prayer we will also pray for the Grand Rapids congregation as we pray for different churches of our federation each time in the afternoon. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we may come now with our offerings for the cause of your church and kingdom. And we are grateful that in this way thou wouldst include us in this project which is for all eternity. And we pray give us great joy in being involved in this and help us to always consciously prepare for it even and gladly give for your cause. Will you use these funds for the furtherance of your church and kingdom? We pray for all your church also this afternoon for the Grand Rapids congregation in Michigan of our federation, a vacant congregation presently. Help them as they are also looking to call someone to lead that flock. We pray give wisdom to the consistory and bless that congregation in the midst of a city with so many churches, that also there the Word of God may be sounded clearly and that your people be blessed there and be equipped for reaching out to others, and that even in the preaching from week to week, people be brought to Jesus. So hear our prayer, Lord. Receive our praise. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Psalter 169. Following the sermon, instead of singing 287, I'll ask that we sing Psalter 90, the first five stanza, but I'll announce it after again. Psalter 90, the first five stanza. I wonder how many different cereals you have in your cupboards. And how many types of tea you might have at your home. What tasty spreads and meats do you have for your sandwiches? How many treats have you had today? What flavors of yogurt or ice cream do you have in the fridge or freezer? How many different kinds of juices and perhaps milk and chocolate milk and buttermilk? And you get my point. In general, it's true, isn't it, congregation? Thinking of food and drink, we have so much compared to many others in this world. Indeed, compared to most of the rest of the world. And coming back to the scriptures of 2 Kings chapter 6, can you imagine such food shortage that you would pay a lot of money for a bony donkey head? Just? And a lot of money too, just for a cup full, about, of dove dung? Bird droppings? How would you like that for supper? It's repulsive to think of it even. But we are told even worse. So hungry were the people in that passage we read about, which is a historical passage, that they were eating their children. I'll come back to this passage later. Praying for physical blessings Christianly. That's the theme of this sermon on the text, Matthew 6:11 or Luke 11:3. And what does that text say? Give us this day our daily bread. That's the fourth petition in the Lord's Prayer. That prayer that Jesus taught us to pray in, and that He gave as a pattern also for our prayers. In our prayers, we may and should pray also, Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. The word bread here refers to the food we eat, first of all. But it means more than that. This prayer request is asking God to give us all we need for our daily living here on earth. Not just in connection with food, but in connection with clothing, housing, job, transportation, health, etc. And notice, it is a prayer that thinks of others, even as you pray for yourself. The pronouns are in the plural, aren't they? Give us this day our daily bread. The way Jesus worded this request too, do you see how asking for God's blessing on us in all our physical and earthly needs is something that the Lord Jesus expects we would do and should do every day? Give us this day our daily bread. The prayer promotes, surely, a spirit of humble daily dependence on God. Day after day, all our life long. Well, is that what you and I reflect in our lives? Personally and in our homes, our families, and in our witness to the community. I one time had it in my first congregation in the late 1980s. I went for a visit to a family where I was there at supper time. And before we ate, the dad asked if I would lead in prayer. So I prayed, asking also for a blessing on the food that had been prepared. And that would be, it would be something that would strengthen us and nourish us as we go on in life's journey. Well, after the prayer, one of the children said out loud, Daddy, how come we pray when the minister comes? And at other times we don't. That honestly happened. And it was sadly a home where daily prayer to God in reference to all our spiritual and physical needs was not much done at all. How is that in your life and family? The fourth petition, just the way it's worded, urges us to daily prayer to God in all the cares and needs for body and soul in every stage of our lives, even till our last breath. Give us this day our daily bread. Let us think more about this petition as Jesus intended we should pray it. Praying for physical, material blessings Christianly. In developing this theme, there are 4 points we will follow. Praying the fourth petition Christianly means acknowledging this is a wonderful petition. Second, this is an important petition. Third, this is a spiritual petition. And fourth, this is an effective petition. Wonderful, important, spiritual, effectual. The first letters of those four words spell what? Wise. I only mention that because it may help you in remembering this sermon. If you and I are wise, we will pray this fourth petition, confessing, for one, how wonderful that we may do so. This fourth petition that Jesus taught us we may and should pray daily is wonderful. Because, just think, consider how it proclaims God cares for us. Not just in matters of the soul, but also in regards to the needs of the body. It's even the first of the last three petitions, which have to do more directly with ourselves and all our needs. It's the first. It shows how God so understands us. I mean, a lot of our life is busy, preoccupied with our food and drink and earning and living, having a livelihood, trying to make it in this world. And God understands. Now, the great, wonderful truth is, you see, God in heaven isn't some being there who doesn't care about your and my physical, material, and financial needs and cares. No. The one true God over all cares for His creatures, especially for we people made in His image, the climax of His creative handiwork. Psalm 147 exclaims, He gives to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. And it says that in the context of, you should know how great our God is for us as human beings. Likewise, in Psalm 104, verse 13 to 15, we read there, He, that is the Lord, waters the hills from His chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man and oil to make his face shine and bread which strengthens man's heart. And a lot more text like this could be quoted, telling the same. But think too now just of the scriptures that we read about Jesus feeding 5,000. And we know on another occasion, 4,000. And in both cases, that was just counting the men. There were thousands of women and children besides, whom Jesus all took care to feed. The point is, congregation, wonderfully the Lord cares for our physical and material needs. God is not detached or disinterested, nor unconcerned or uncaring about your and my needs physically, materially, and financially. Oh, what a great God is our triune God as revealed in Christ Jesus. He's so different than the gods of man's making and the idol gods people worship. Have you ever seen pictures? People bringing plates full of all kinds of foods to their pagan gods. The idols are lifeless and quite often grossly fat images even. And people give of their little resources and their best foods to try to please and satisfy their idol gods. And so to be sure to come under the favor of the gods. But the Christian God is so different. He's the one true living God who cares for us. Also in all our physical, material needs and cares. He doesn't need anything from us. And He's out to provide everything for us as we need it. Behold, says Jesus in Matthew 6:26, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Beloved, isn't this wonderful to think about and to remember as we each day and every week have our challenges physically, materially, and financially. Some of you have real trials physically with your body, also among us. Others may be struggling just to make ends meet every week and month. Some of you are looking into possible new job situations because your present situation isn't working out so well. Some of you have problems in connection with housing and location of where you live. Some of you have difficulties with vehicles and you need another one, but how can you get the money for it, etc. Well, congregation, we may bring all these needs and cares to the Lord. Jesus said, when you pray, pray also, give us this day our daily bread. That is, explains the catechism on this petition. Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. And you know, with Jesus come in the flesh, as we thought about in catechism this morning with the young people, with Himself having lived here in this world as a human being, like us in all things, sin excepted, you can be assured we have a God who understands totally our physical, material, financial needs. Jesus worked in a carpenter shop for many years. He was part of a family of at least 9, a mom and dad, and 7 children. Jesus being the oldest. Uniquely so, of course. But you can be sure they had to scrape by. It was not a rich family. He knows about needs and cares, physically, materially. Isn't it wonderful that we may pray for our daily bread to the God who's full of understanding and compassion for all our needs, body and soul? And you know what else is so wonderful about this? Over and over it is shown in the Bible that the one true God, as revealed in Jesus Christ, has all the power to supply our needs of body and for this life as required. He's the Lord of hosts with limitless resources and power. He can supply food and other resources when there seems no human way possible. The feeding of the 5,000, which we read about, shows that, surely. And what about that Old Testament story telling us about God giving manna to the Israelites every day, 6 days a week, in the wilderness for 40 years? He gave water miraculously too on different occasions, and sometimes meat in abundance came to the people. You no doubt know too the true story with prophet Elijah in 1 Kings 17, how God fed him bread brought to him by birds, by ravens, in a time where he was in hiding from a king who wanted to kill him. You read that in 1 Kings 19, I believe it is. No, 17. Another time we have the story of God supplying a cake and water, it seems out of nothing, for Elijah. That's in 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 17 also tells a time when Elijah helped a poor widow, being an instrument in God's hand that she be supplied with a daily portion of flour and oil as she needed it for her household. Remember too the New Testament story of the resurrected Savior having breakfast already on the shore, on the seashore, for the disciples. And in the passage of 2 Kings 6 and 7, which we read, we are told, aren't we, of a terrible famine and food shortage for the Israelites, and it's suddenly changing by God's almighty hand and care. God the Creator, this is the point, has made this earth full of riches of food and drink, and He has no problem supplying it from it in our needs as required. How wonderful then, yes, do you see it with me, that we may pray also this petition. Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. You are praying to a God, congregation, who's able and willing to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, also in reference to our physical, material, financial needs. Don't you think that's wonderful? And wonderful that we may pray this petition then? Let's pray and praise God for this petition and pray it often. And to promote that further, let's think next of our second point, namely how important this petition is. How important. It's not just wonderful that we may pray it, but it's important that we do so. Not once, but again and again. Why is it important? Well, what would you say to that? It's important because we're so used to having all the food and drink that we have. The more food and goods that we may have and enjoy, it's almost all the more important that we pray this prayer. Why? Because with all our cupboards full and pantries full and our many other possessions and material blessings, it becomes so easy for us to forget. Every good and perfect gift comes always alone from the Father in heaven. Always we live and move and have our being from God. And we tend to forget that so easily, or not to remember it. And also to help keep us from thinking ever that it's our work and our efforts and our talents especially that gain us this and that, and that fills our bodies with food and drink and so many extra supplies of this world's goods. To keep us from that mindset, it's important that we pray, give us this day our daily bread. What? Shall we trust ourselves and our riches rather than God over all, who graciously grants you and me whatever physical and material and financial blessings we each may have and enjoy? Oh, how we need, congregation, to realize too, whatever we have and enjoy in this land should never be taken for granted by us. Should never be seen as a matter of course. Of course. No. Don't you know it can all be removed or destroyed ever so quickly? Think of the rather sudden change in Egypt recently, making so much there now in that country unstable, unsafe, dysfunctional, unproductive. How many people are suddenly hurting there? You can be sure. Especially in the tourist industry. Let us not take for granted, congregation, the infrastructure we have in this country and our freedoms and the health and strength to do our work and the abundant and overflowing stores that we may go to with so many goods for us to buy. It all could suddenly change if God would just remove His restraining hand on evildoers. Or if He just would give us what we deserve. Remember the story of Job. How suddenly his wealth was gone. Remember too the earthquake in Haiti. And the recent flooding in Australia. Remember the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The reading from 2 Kings 6 was in a time of war. And terrible food shortage developed on account of that war. Well, don't think that we will always never have war, of course. War can come here too. War never comes always planned. Often it comes unexpectedly. Let us take care not to think and presume either that our abundance of food and drink and so much wealth besides is really just most normal. For you need to know, while it may seem normal for us, our situation of so much prosperity here in Canada is really most abnormal compared to the rest of the world. And we can lose all we have so easily. I remember reading the story of J.C. Ryle. Some of you may have commentaries by J.C. Ryle, very good commentaries on the New Testament Gospels. And he tells a true story in his life. He was younger, in his late teens, early 20s, I can't quite remember, but he was with his parents and living with his parents, and he tells how they experienced in one day a complete change from relative prosperity to abysmal poverty. And for him, it was a total surprise. For his dad, he might have seen it coming because of investments that went sour or whatever. But for Ryle, it was a total surprise. And it affected him deeply for the rest of his life, he tells us in his life story. The point is, don't just think it's always going to be there by itself. No. The fourth petition, truly prayed, can help prevent us, congregation, from taking food and drink and all the world's blessings that we may have here for granted. And it can help us to live more with a sense of daily dependency on God for all our needs, also bodily and earthly needs. So this prayer is important for that reason. It's important to pray this petition too, for it drives home the truth that never can we say, congregation, that you and I deserve food and drink and all the good things in life that we are given here to enjoy. You know, the truth is, the least blessing for also the body is more than you and I ever deserve as fallen, guilty, thankless, rebellious sinners by nature. And I'm not just saying that because that's expected of me. No, it's the absolute truth. And it needs to be each of our conviction, being convicted of our sinfulness before God, the Holy One. In our text passage from 2 Kings, that war situation with Syria, with its terrible famine, and that food shortage results, where people would eat their own children even, that was part of God's judgment on His wayward people who had turned away from Him. Well, if God would come in righteous judgment on this land, on this rebellious, sin-sick, brazenly evil world, think of today as Super Bowl Sunday. I mentioned it this morning, but God's day is just so dishonored in our times. If God would deal with us as nations as we deserve, He wouldn't supply any one of us with a single drop of water, nor a slice of bread ever. He could let the whole world perish in hunger and starvation, and justly so, left to ourselves. But no, God promises to show care and love for sinners like us in Christ Jesus. And part of that promise also included His pledge to Noah and family not to let this whole world be destroyed by flood or calamity ever again till the final judgment day. And while the Lord still allows, yes, calamities to come in different places over the earth, yet at the same time in so many other places still, He grants crops to grow and food to be made available in rich abundance for distribution to many. How important to pray this fourth petition and never to take our abundance for granted, nor to presume our blessings in life. Do you acknowledge this time and again, how undeserving you and we all are for even the least blessing from God's fatherly hand? Is this your conviction as well? To see this more, let's move on to the next point. Noticing how this petition, as Jesus meant it, is wise to pray repeatedly, not just because it's wonderful and important, but truly it's a spiritual petition. It's a spiritual petition. The Lord Jesus teaches His people with this petition to be spiritually minded in regards to our physical and material needs and cares and blessings of life. And what does that mean, you ask? Well, I think the Catechism again captures it very well. This prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," we read there, should be understood to mean asking the Lord, quote, "Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body." Why? That we may gorge ourselves and feel good about ourselves? No. But that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even Thy gifts can profit us without Thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and places alone in Thee. You hear from this, don't you, that this fourth petition is a spiritual petition, confessing God is the only fountain of all good, the real source of all blessing for life, body and soul. And we know the gospel truth is, God is the only fountain, source of all good for Jesus' sake, isn't He? Yes, because of the Lord Jesus Christ who came to this world to redeem sinners, sent by the Father, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And oh, how Jesus, as Savior, when here on earth, how he suffered in the sinner's place. What? Hunger. Nakedness. Homelessness. Poverty. Indeed, from manger to cross. From womb to tomb. And he did that as Savior and substitute for sinners. So Paul also says in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." And Jesus didn't just do that because it was kind of a thing to do. No, it had to be done. It was part of the suffering for sin in the sinner's place. And God is now an overflowing fountain of good for His people in and through Christ Jesus alone. And what He has done and accomplished for us sinners. You see, apart from Christ and His once for all perfect salvation work, you know, His whole being, body and soul, on behalf of sinners, apart from that, God could only justly, congregation, withdraw every blessing of life for body and soul from us. Your and my sins and sinfulness before God, you see, are so terribly wicked and evil and offensive in God's holy sight. But God is full of mercy in and through Jesus Christ, His Son, whom He sent into this world to be the Savior of sinners, both for our body and soul. And so, when you take your next glass of water and you bring it to your lips, remember, you get to drink that because of Jesus, who cried on the cross, "I thirst!" Imagine, congregation, the Creator of the universe and the owner of this world and everything in it, including all the fresh water lakes and streams and fountains, Himself agonizingly crying out with parched lip and tongue, "I thirst!" I find it one of the most moving pictures in the Bible. Where they give us, on a reed, they bring a sponge to Jesus' lips, all dried and parched, just to make it wet for Him. Can you imagine the Creator of the world so hanging on the cross? And behold Him too in the beginning of His ministry in a barren wilderness, fasting 40 days and nights in prayer and preparation for His gospel ministry, and being ever so hungry, only to have the devil tempt Him in terrible temptations. And hear Jesus say, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not a place where to lay His head." Oh, whether we realize it or not, always only God in Christ Jesus is the source of every blessing for body and soul in your life and mine. Paul says thus in 1 Corinthians 4, 7, "Who makes thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory or boast as if thou hast not received it?" Well, is this your confession of faith too, congregation? That all we have and own is only on account of God's goodness and mercy toward us in and through Christ Jesus. If you say, but Pastor, come on now, I worked hard for what I have and for this food in my pantry. And I sweat for that and I really gave it my best. And that's fine. In fact, we're called, 6 days shall you labor. But remember, who gave you the breath to live? Who gave you the limbs to move? Who gave you that job you have? Who gave you the mind to think? Who gave you the health to function? Who gave you the money to buy things? Who gave you the place to purchase things to buy? Who gave you the vehicle to get there? Who gave you the gas for the vehicle? Who gave you safe travel back and forth? Who gave you the house to live in? Etc., etc. It's all from God. His mercies, undeserved. Oh, it is wise to pray the fourth petition, seeing it is wonderful and important and spiritual. Yes, Savior-focused prayer, really? Is that how you view it too? Seeing it as a spiritual request, in regards to all our physical and material and financial needs and blessings should help us also not only to be focused on God in Christ as a supplier of all good things, but it should help us to not to trust in our riches and possessions, but to ever look to the Lord and seek to serve Him with our riches and possessions. Jesus Himself warns, doesn't He, about in Luke 12, about that rich farmer, you know, who kept receiving so many blessings and treasuring it all up just for himself and resting and relying on his riches, gaining more and more, and he stored them all away. And God says to him, to that rich, proud farmer, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" So is he, says Jesus, "that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." And we have this solemn warning in the Old Testament too. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. You know, she was so caught up in her earthly treasures while she was estranged from God, the one who gave her all her treasures. And so she died in her sins. A pillar of salt as a warning for all people. Both the Old and New Testament mention the text, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So truly praying this prayer, this petition means surely also not asking for more and more that we may indulge ourselves and gorge in it for ourselves. No, but please give me, Lord, each and every day the exact blessings I need most to be able to live for Thee, to Thy praise and to Thy glory with everything I have. That's the idea with this petition, what Jesus surely meant by it. It's praying with the attitude which we find also in Proverbs 30 with Agur when he says, "Remove from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient or best suited for me, that I might wholly live for Thee." He says, "Lest I be full and deny Thee, or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." You see, godly Agur, he wanted only so much. He asked, he said, "Lord, only give me so much as you know best would make me be most faithful and zealous before Thee in Thy ways and Thy service." Well, is that the way that you and I pray too, by God's grace, for all our physical, material needs? Are you spiritually minded, asking, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Hear the words of Paul in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 to 12 are relevant. Maybe you can look it up with me for a minute. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 to 12. I invite you to turn there with me. Just read these verses. What does Paul say there? He says, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 to 12, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich," he says, "fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God," says Paul to Timothy, "flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Being wise, congregation, in praying the fourth petition, is having this spiritual focus with this prayer in regards to all our earthly needs. It is important to say this. In this regard, the fourth petition is not the one unspiritual request in the Lord's Prayer. It's not the unspiritual request in the Lord's Prayer. No, rather, it's the fourth spiritual request to God. Now, namely, to bless us physically and materially and financially so that we can go on living in the way of hallowing His name and having His kingdom come and that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All our blessings we receive, and all the blessings that we do receive are not meant simply for our own enjoyment, and we shouldn't think of it that way, but that in everything and with everything, we may seek to live to God's praise and honor. We don't live to eat, if it's well. You may enjoy your food, but you don't live to eat. That's not your philosophy. Your philosophy is you eat to live, that you may live for God, to His glory. What do you have, this spiritual focus? Are you keeping this spiritual focus in and with all your spiritual, all your earthly blessings? Do you and I aim with all our food and drink and all our physical, material blessings and privileges in life to bring above all glory to God and to promote His church and kingdom and to help the needy, those nearby and those far away, as God gives us opportunity? Is this a spiritual focus and priority we have? Or have we become ensnared and enslaved, perhaps, with covetousness, with worldliness, greediness, hoarding this and that, and more and more? Are you more a pleasure and treasure seeker of this world instead of a self-sacrificing pilgrim seeking especially the treasures in the world to come, in and with the Lord, and spending yourself now with all that you have and are for God and for good, as long as God enables you there to, even till your last breath? Are these questions not searching and yet wholesome for us? Thinking about this petition, Lord, teach us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh yes, the fourth petition is a wonderful petition. It's an important petition. It's a spiritual petition. And lastly, it's an effectual petition. Effectual. And what I mean here is that praying this prayer in spirit and truth, our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. You do not pray it in vain. The reality is God triune inclines His ear to us when we pray to Him. Yes, also in connection with our physical and material needs and our spiritual well-being in and with it all too. Even when the Lord doesn't answer our requests as we sometimes wish He would, or in the instant that we think He should, He sometimes rather lets us have crisis moments to have us lean on Him more yet. But He hears us when we pray also regarding this petition. What does the psalmist say? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want or lack. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Psalm 37, David testifies, I have been young and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In Psalm 81, verse 10, you have the urgent call and pledge from God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And so we read in Psalm 84, verse 11, for the Lord our God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 34, verse 8 to 10, David says there in praise to God, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. O fear the Lord, all ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack any good thing. Those are all Psalm quotations. And what about all the actual accounts of God's people really experiencing God's supply in their physical and material financial needs? In that awful passage we read from 2 Kings 6 to 7, the Lord so amazingly and suddenly changed and transformed the Israelites' need of dying in hunger to a situation of overflowing abundance. In an instant it was changed. The one man who, that nobleman on whom the king leaned, who scoffed at the promise that Elisha spoke, that God would make things way better in an instant. The man who scoffed at that promise that God would do so, he saw it. He saw the change. But as foretold by Elisha, he never lived it through. Being trampled to death by the people rushing for the food and the goods made available suddenly for the people. And the point of that account is surely the call to us all to rely on the Lord and to trust His word of promise in all our needs for Jesus' sake alone. Asaph in Psalm 78 verse 19 says about God, says about the repeatedly unbelieving Israelites, "Yea, they speak against God. They say, can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" And the truth is, God can. And He often has. Oh, let us not be unbelieving, but ever trusting in the Lord and waiting on Him in prayer, asking humbly and expectantly, "Give us this day our daily bread." How many stories have been told by God's people in church history of amazing answers to prayers when the need of food or money or transportation or housing or whatever the physical, material and financial need was. People receive unexpectedly a needed check from someone or some cash in an envelope or a grocery voucher or that job just when they needed it. Or that place to live when almost they were ready to give up finding one. Or that motel room when you've been driving and looking and looking. And yes, there's one room yet for you. I remember reading a missionary story once where fervent prayer was made for desperately needed medical supplies. And some other items as well. And it came just on time. But actually it had been sent months before already. Unknown to those praying by supporters of that mission. Or if you want to read a book about countless examples of needs amazingly supplied by God in answer to prayer, read the life story of George Mueller. George Mueller lived in the 19th century in England, and he established, started and maintained many orphanages just depending daily in prayer for God to supply every day again all the funds and the food and the supplies and the personnel needed to run these homes. And Mueller's life and work testimony was, quote, "No real need ever failed to be supplied. No real need ever failed to be supplied." And you read that book, it thrills your soul when you read it. And it's humbling. Because you say, "Wow, Lord, teach me to pray." The point is now, knowing and trusting in the Lord, congregation, and all our physical and earthly needs too. We have a God who hears prayer and can answer our prayers. And having this petition is effectual too in the sense that it can help us from not worrying and fretting about so much as we so easily can do. So Paul also says, doesn't he, in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, "Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then in verse 19 of that same chapter, he goes on to say, "And my God shall supply all your need, according to His riches in glory, by Christ Jesus." So the lesson is, no one seeketh the Lord in vain. And also praying the fourth petition in Jesus' name is never in vain, but effectual for sure. Yes, in God's timing and in God's way, but nevertheless, one that proves God hears and answers prayer. I don't believe any one of us has nothing to eat today, and that you have at home at best an expensive, bony donkey head that you could find somewhere from someone. Or that you're going to have for supper tonight a costly cupful of bird droppings. No, you're not going to have that, I know. Let's be thankful for God's provision for us. Let's thank and praise the Lord for all His mercies and loving kindnesses to us. Also in teaching us now to pray this fourth petition and answering that prayer for Jesus' sake every day again too in our lives. Praying for physical blessings Christianly. That means acknowledging and confessing the prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's such a wonderful and important and spiritual and effectual petition. So let's pray and praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Also this petition. Will you be wise in daily praying also this prayer? Amen. Psalter number 90, first five stanza. And you'll understand the reason for that choice. Psalter 90, 1 to 5. Let's give thanks. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God who cares for us body and soul in all our physical, material, financial needs, as well as our great spiritual and eternal needs. In a holistic way, in every way, you are a Savior God. So to be gloried in, so to be trusted, so to be loved, so to be lived unto and for. O Lord, teach us that also through this message this afternoon. We pray, take care of us also in this week ahead, and give us each day our daily bread, all we need, that we might live unto Thee. We pray for Brother Don as he has to go away again, away from his family, away from the church family. Protect him. Bless the labor of his hands. Bless each one of us in our occupation, whatever it is, that we may do it as unto the Lord, and help us to be humbly grateful for whatever we may gain from our work, and help us to live to your glory with all that we have, with all that we are, all the time, with everyone. Oh, bless us so, in Jesus' name alone. Amen. We sing now together Psalter number 396, and our doxology after the benediction is, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Receive now the Lord's parting blessing for body and soul. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance, His favor upon you, and give you His peace. Amen.